Rates of HIV amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are currently 1.5 times higher than non-Indigenous population, and those figures are on the rise. Later today, key public health specialists will attend a summit in Brisbane to come up with a national response to avert an Indigenous HIV epidemic. The federal and Queensland government will be under pressure to spend more money on addressing the problem, following major cuts to preventative health services over recent years. Dion Tatau will be at the meeting. He's the Senior Policy Officer of Mental Health with the Queensland Aboriginal and Islander Health Council. He's speaking with our reporter, Cathy Van Exstel.
There were 1,081 newly diagnosed HIV infections in 2014, and 33 were identified as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. But if we look at the rates for newly diagnosed HIV in our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, we've got about 5.9% infection rate per 100,000 in 2014 versus 3.7% in the non-Indigenous population. So those figures are concerning for us.
So there's a higher rate of infection?
Definitely in 2014, yes.
And as I understand it, there's concern that what we're seeing is the start of a trend, a rising trend?
Yeah, we need to be really careful about that, but there's certainly, if there has been a sustained increase over the last 5 years of HIV infection within our communities, so we do need to take notice of it.
Can you tell me a little bit about how infections are occurring in the Indigenous population compared to the broader Australian population?
Well, in that five-year period from 2010 to 2014, a higher proportion of notifications of newly diagnosed HIV infection amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were attributed to injecting drug use. That's 16% versus 3% in the non-Indigenous population. Heterosexual sex, men and women, 20% in the Indigenous and 13% in the non-Indigenous. And certainly in females, we've got 22% in our communities versus 5% in the non-Indigenous Australian-born population. So it's a different epidemiology within our communities.
Does that mean that different messaging is needed?
Very much so. There are different target groups. Obviously, injecting drug users is a very specific target group within our communities, and you need to design health promotion, education around with that target group in mind.
And how much of a worry is it that you're seeing higher rates within the heterosexual population?
I guess it just means within our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community in particular, it's not a gay disease. It's affecting a range of people within our community, so we all need to be aware.
Does that increase the chances of spread?
Very much so, particularly if it's in a community where there isn't a lot of awareness. Some people may think that HIV is, you know, traditionally it's seen as a gay men's disease, so they need to worry about it if they're not gay. But that's not the case within our community, so yes, we do need to be mindful of that.
When you look at the Indigenous population where HIV is being diagnosed, where is it occurring? Is it largely in the urban population or in communities?
Urban populations, the majority, yes.
Is there hotspots?
Well, HIV, there are pockets, if you like, not so much hotspots, but certainly with syphilis, there is a large outbreak of syphilis across northern Australia. So in northern Queensland, the Territory, and northern areas of WA. So that's certainly a hot spot at the moment for syphilis.
And the concern, of course, is that the presence of STIs increases the likelihood of HIV infection.
Very much so. So that's why we need to address it now, particularly getting to those people who may not have been tested, and obviously they're not getting treatment. And of course, the same old message needs to go out about safe sex, condom use, which is something that probably has fallen by the wayside a little bit in some areas, but we need to start that education again.
Do you believe that we're seeing these rises in STIs and HIV infections because there's been cuts to those outreach and education programs?
I very much do believe that, and I guess it's been a change in the focus of government. There are other chronic diseases that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people experience that are important to address, but HIV and STIs has probably slipped off the radar a bit for many education programs while we focus on things like diabetes, chronic disease.
You talked about pockets for HIV infection. Can you tell me where they are?
Ooh, we've had a number in urban Victoria. Here in Queensland, it's been a bit more spread. I wouldn't like to say that one particular area is more of a risk than other areas, but regionally, we can say far north Queensland, there's been an increase in HIV infections in far north.
And what about in other states?
Not as bad as Queensland and Victoria, but certainly concerning, but we haven't seen those spikes, I guess.
So what are you hoping will come out of today's meeting? Something concrete?
Oh, something concrete is an agreement that with control of STIs, including HIV, that there needs to be a coordinated approach. With the syphilis outbreak, we can see that it's affecting not just Queensland, but Northern Territory and WA. So getting together government and community groups within, you know, the different jurisdictions is important if we're really going to address this. But I guess one of the big things is, I guess it's to recognise the role that the Aboriginal community control health sector has in addressing HIV and other STIs and funding those groups that are working on the ground and providing primary healthcare services, funding them to address any increases or any outbreaks. And we really would like the government, Commonwealth and state to commit to funding, once again, education prevention around HIV and other STIs.
That's Dion Tetau from the Queensland Aboriginal and Islander Health Council speaking with Cathy Van Extel.